الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
The next whole topic is about wedding manners. Manners of wedding and nikah, and I don't really want to go into the details of talking about giving a talk on marriage or the rules of marriage or maybe, you know, things to do with nikah and finding a suitable spouse and the rights of the husband and wife, nothing like that. I've actually done many talks on marriage, and I actually did a whole course once at a university. 7 full days from morning till evening, and there were CDs prepared. There's actually 19 CDs prepared in a CD set called The Fiqh of Marriage. Okay, so that's not the idea or the aim here. I just want to read this book because we're teaching this book and we are studying this book, inshallah, in Adab al-Islam. So the Shaykh here actually mentions a few basic, you know, adab and etiquettes and manners that are regarding nikah. Okay, so let's start off, inshallah. The Shaykh says, إذا دعيت إلى عقد نكاح أو فرح الزواج فاشهده فإن شهوده من السنة الكريمة ما لم يكن فيه محرمات شرعية. When you are invited to a marriage ceremony or a marriage celebration, then accept that invitation, because attending the marriage ceremony is from the noble sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as there are no prohibited acts taking place. What does the Shaykh say here? That look, the first point is that one of the adab and etiquettes is that when you are invited to a nikah, a marriage ceremony, when somebody invites you for marriage, for nikah, whether in the masjid or whether for the walima, or whether you are invited at the house, then make sure, do your best to attend, share people's happiness. Just like, you know, we were talking about going to console someone, ta'ziyah, iyadatul mariyad, visiting the sick, when you go to express your condolences for a family bereavement, we are sharing in people's pain. Muslims are like one body. So just as we share people's pain, we have to also try to share people's happiness. So this is the reason why in Islam we've been encouraged. The Shaykh is saying here that it's attending someone's marriage ceremony or a celebration and taking part in the happiness is from the noble sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he said, ما لم يكن فيه محرمات شرعية, as long as there are no prohibited and lawful acts taking place. This is a condition, okay? This is sunnah, and it's good to attend only if there are no haram acts taking place. If there are unlawful practices taking place, okay, if there's open, free, casual intermingling of the two genders, that is absolutely haram to take part. If, for example, there's unlawful music taking place in that marriage ceremony, dancing, men, women dancing taking place, then all of this, as you know, these are like clear, basic rulings of Islam that everybody knows that they are haram, unlawful. So it's not sunnah, forget sunnah, it should be unlawful for you to attend that kind of marriage ceremony. However, if it's a ceremony in which there are no haram things taking place, then the Shaykh says that, look, it's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attend, accept the invitation. فَإِنَّ الشَّرْعَ الْإِسْلَامِيِّ الْحَنِيفِ اِعْتَدَّ بِالزَّوَاجِ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَالطَّاعَاتِ وَلِهَذَا اِسْتَحَبَّ إِنْشَاءَ الْأَقْضِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. The Shaykh says that, you know, the reason why it's sunnah and it's the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to attend people's marriage celebrations and ceremonies, and why it's good and recommended for you to accept the invitation, is because in Islam, marriage is considered to be from the acts of worship and obedience. SubhanAllah, this is a very important point. In Islam, marriage is considered to be an act of ibadah, an act of worshipping Allah. This is a point that many of us forget, brothers and sisters. In Islam, marriage is not considered to be a worldly act. Nikah is considered to be an act of worship, an act of ibadah. It's like performing salah. It's like doing hajj. It's like fasting. It's like qiyamul layl, tahajjud. And I actually did, I've done a couple of talks on this, which you will find on the internet somewhere, maybe on my website, daraliftar.com. Marriage is a source of, it's an ibadah, a means of worshipping Allah. And this is the reason why, you know, we find that in marriage, most of the things are like ibadah. We recite the khutbah, which has the, you know, three verses of taqwa in them. And then, you know, the Shaykh mentions himself that, look, this is the reason. وَلِهَذَا إِسْتَحَبَّ إِنْشَاءَ الْعَقْدِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. This is the reason why marriage contracts are conducted in the masjid. Because in the masjid, you do things that are of ibadah, worshipping Allah. Okay, that's what we do in the masjid. We go to offer salah in the masjid. We talk about religious issues in the masjid. We do good deeds in the masjid. And marriage is something that's an ibadah as well. And hence the fact that it is contracted normally, and it's mustahab, it's recommended to have the marriage contract in the masjid. Okay, so marriage is an ibadah, and therefore you are fulfilling someone's, and it's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and there's many things to do, to talk about marriage, but we should not. I mean, I don't have the time right now. Just one hadith is a hadith in Musnad Ahmad. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna a'zama an-nikahi barakatan aysaruhu mu'natan," which shows that keep marriage simple. The most virtuous marriage, the most blessed marriage, is the one which has the least expenditure. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the marriage which is blessed the most is the one in which you spend the least amount of money. Keep it simple, brothers and sisters. Fulfill the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Practice the, you know, etiquettes of Islam and make it simple. So the Shaykh says here that, look, when you're invited, make sure you attend marriage ceremonies. Okay? And accept the invitation, and it's recommended to perform it in the masjid. كما نص الفقهاء على هذا, as the jurists have mentioned. وفي الحديث الشريف أعلنوا هذا النكاح واجعلوه في المساجد واضربوا عليه بالدفوف رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه ويؤيده حديث أعلنوا النكاح رواه الإمام أحمد والحاكم وغيرهما وحديث فصل ما بين الحلال والحرام الصوت والدف في النكاح رواه أحمد والترمذي والنسائي وابن ماجه. The Shaykh says here that, look, we have a hadith. He's mentioned three hadiths here. That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, announce this marriage, publicize your marriage, and execute them in the masjids, and beat the duff, the drums, the tambourine, in marriage. Hadith mentioned by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam Ibn Majah. What he's trying to say that, look, marriage is a source of ibadah, and this is why it's in the masjid. So this hadith shows that, look, it's recommended in the masjid. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned three things. He's actually trying to point out the fact, the second part, make sure you conduct your marriages in the masjid. But he also said in this hadith, announce, أَعْلِنُوا هَذَا النِّكَاح. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, publicize your marriages. Publicize them, announce them. And actually, you know, the two witnesses we have, the two shahidan, the two witnesses in marriage, it's in order to publicize. And that's why the more people who are witness, the more better. And that's the whole point about marriage in Islam. Secret marriages are not right. Sometimes they're unlawful, sometimes they are not just done, and sometimes they are done and valid, but they are not appropriate, right? It depends on a lot of issues. Not the time to go into right now. But the whole point Islam has about marriage is that it should be known and common to people. The difference between zina and nikah, and lawful adultery, fornication, illicit and lawful relationship, and halal marriage, halal sexual relationship, is this announcement. People know when you are with a, you know, a man is with a woman, a woman is with a man. People know these two are like, everybody knows they are married. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A'linu." Announce, and this is what in the Maliki school of thought, the condition is publicizing rather than two witnesses. According to the Hanafis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis, two witnesses are enough. According to the Maliki school, and the school of Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, he doesn't make a condition that you have to have two witnesses. According to him, the condition is i'lan, based on this hadith, publicizing the marriage. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, announce and publicize the marriage as much as possible. make sure they are in the masajid. And then he said, beat the drums, the duff, the tambourine. This is also a, you know, and the Arabs used to do that. You know, they used to celebrate with the duff, the tambourine. This is again to announce, because everybody will know, you hearing the drums beating, what's happening? Why are the drums being beaten? What's that noise? Oh, such and such is getting married to such and such. Everybody knows that you two are married. Nobody will have like a doubt when they see you with her, or when they see you with him. Okay? This is the whole objective behind this hadith and this behind the issue of publicizing. Rawahu Tirmidhi wa Ibn Majah. And then he says that there's another hadith in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A'linu nikah," announce the marriage, recorded by Imam Ahmad and Imam Hakim and others. And another hadith in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Faslu ma bayna al-halal wal-haram, as-sawtu wad-duffu fi an-nikah." The difference between halal and haram, between zina and halal relationship, is noise and duff and duff. You can say duff, you can also say duff. Beating the drum, hitting the tambourine in nikah. Hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Imam al-Nasai, and Imam Ibn Majah in their respective Sunan collections. I'll talk about the duff briefly, but before I do that, what the Shaykh mentioned in this first paragraph, or the first couple of paragraphs, the importance of accepting the invitation, right? If somebody invites you for their marriage ceremony, the Shaykh says that accept it, because it's sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only condition is that as long as there are no haram activities taking place. However, there's one thing here that walima, accepting a walima becomes even more important. You know, walima is a meal that is taken after a marriage celebration, after consummation of the marriage. There's actually details about the fiqh of walima, and actually have a whole article. Again, if you go onto my website, www.darulifta.com, many articles on marriage issues. But if you read, I've got a whole detailed article on the fiqh of walima. But just mention, I've mentioned that briefly. The Arabs used to have, you know, different types of wordings for the different types of meals they should take. You know, aqiqah is the meal that is taken after the birth of a child. When somebody used to come back from a journey, they used to have naqiqah. Waqira is, you know, a new home. When they buy a new home, then they invite people for food, it's called waqira, things like that. Walima is when a marriage is consummated. Now, there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha du'iya ahadukum ila al-walimati falyastajib." Abdullah ibn Umar in Sahih al-Bukhari. "Idha du'iya ahadukum ila al-walimati falyastajib." When one of you is invited to a walima, you must answer and respond. You must accept the invitation. Now, the ulama have said that accepting a walima invitation is actually an emphasized sunnah. Sunnatun mu'akkada. And according to some, it's wajib. A person becomes sinful if they do not accept a walima invitation. However, there's two conditions for this. Number one, you are specifically invited. It's not just a general invitation that, you know, they just say, "Oh, everybody's invited." No, you are specifically, you have a personal invitation. And number two, you don't have a valid excuse. These are the two conditions. If you are specifically invited and you don't have any genuine valid excuse, and then you don't attend the walima, okay, then you are sinful. Yes, if there are haram activities taking place, then of course, not just you're not sinful, you must not go. But this is like when there are no haram things taking place. If you are not if any of these two conditions are not met, then you don't have to go. For example, if you are not personally invited, this is a general invitation. And you know the cards today, they write at the bottom, "Please accept this as a personal invitation." Allahu A'lam, I don't know. I personally think that's not a personal invitation. I think personal invitation is somebody phones you or sends you a, you know, separate letter, or if they have that card, then they, you know, like write on it that, "Look, with something with a pen on there, you know, properly, just writing your name, maybe, that may be a personal invitation." You know, but I don't know. But you need to be more personally invited. And number two, you don't have an excuse. If you are personally invited, but you have an excuse, or you don't have an excuse, and you are personally invited. You know, meaning if any of these two conditions are not met, then it's not necessary for you to attend. However, if you are personally invited and you don't have a genuine valid excuse, then you must accept and you must attend the walima gathering as long as there are no sins taking place. So that was one point, because the Sheikh mentioned that, look, when you're invited, du'ita ila aqdi nikahin, then attend, okay, accept the invitation. And then he's talking about announcing the marriage and about daf, okay, tambourine. Now he's talking a few more things about the daf, and I will just read and from the book because it's self-evident. He says, فرخص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في عقد النكاح بضرب الدف للنساء بلا خلاف وللرجال أيضا على الأصح عند بعض العلماء شهرا للزواج وإعلاما به. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم permitted in a marriage contract the beating and the hitting of the tambourine, the duf or the daf, for women without any difference of opinion. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم allowed women to use the daf. There's no difference between the scholars regarding this. And even for men, according to the more correct opinion, according to some of the scholars. This is what the Sheikh is saying. Why? In order to publicize the marriage and make it known to the people. وَإِشَاعَةً لِمَعْرِفَتِهِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ أَقَارِبَ وَأَبَاعِدٍ. In order to spread the news of the marriage between people, close people and far people. وَلِلشَّرْعِ مَقَاصِدُ عُلْيَا مِنْ هَذَا الْإِعْلَانِ. And Sharia actually has more noble and greater objectives besides just making people know and publicizing with this daf, okay? Which is ومنها التفرقة بين القيران الخبيث الحرام والزواج الطاهر الحلال. The main objective is to separate between the unlawful illicit meeting haram zina and pure halal lawful marriage. Because the Messenger فقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فصل ما بين الحلال والحرام الصوت والدف في النكاح. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this is the hadith we just read, separation between halal and haram, haram zina, halal nikah, is noise, people knowing, announcing, and daf, hitting the daf and the tambourine. كما تقدم قال العلماء المراد بالصوت إعلان النكاح والذكر في الناس وإضطراب الأصوات فيه كالزغردة للنساء والترديد للرجال بالأهازيج. He says the ulama said that the meaning of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that making noise is to announce and publicize, mentioning people talking about the marriage, everybody's knowing that these two people have become married, okay, exchanging noises, and also making certain types of noises. And he says like women making a sound, you know, the women, it's called zaghrada. In the Arabian times, the Arabs, the women, and even now, some of you, if you've been to the Arab countries, they make this like noise when they're happy, like ooh, like that. You know, sound made by Arab women as a manifestation of joy. Okay, so some of the ulama said that was a sound made by women, no problem. Okay, at the time of marriage. And men, وَالتَّرْدِيدِ الرِّجَالِ بِالْأَهَزِيجِ. Men used to do this, like, hazija is to sing. Huzuja is a song, okay? And the plural of that is ahazij. So men used to repeat, you know, make repetition by singing. So what the Sheikh is saying here, that look, one of the etiquettes of marriage is to make it as much known as possible. There's nothing wrong in men and women making noises and beating the duff. And I tell you, the Arabs, they actually do this, subhanAllah. You know, I think I mentioned this once. If you've been to an Arab wedding, you will really know what the Sheikh is talking about here. The Sheikh is from Halab in Aleppo, Syria. And I actually attended a wedding gathering in Halab, subhanAllah. Unique. They don't break any laws of Sharia. Women are completely separate. But they really know how to enjoy themselves. Islam doesn't say that, you know, you don't enjoy themselves. Seriously. You know, Islam says within halal boundaries, limits, you can enjoy yourself. Women will be completely separate, but they'll have their own area where they dress up in the way they want to dress up because there's no men there. They will sing an ashid. Of course, they won't use instruments and things like that, which are haram. But they will use the daf. Now, daf, only the tambourine daf, without, you know, daf is something which doesn't have any jingles to it, okay? So they would play that. They would sing. They will sing up Islamic songs about marriage. As long as the Sheikh is saying, you know, further along, as long as it doesn't have any, you know, just sexual nature in it or anything that's offensive or rude in it, the songs. And it's actually from the hadith, which is coming, inshallah. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, look, you know, in a marriage, he said, look, sing. He told the young girls to sing and be happy and be joyful in marriage. Okay? He said, be happy and be joyful in marriage. So this is what the Sheikh is in the next two pages, he's mentioning these etiquettes, and he's actually, this is what he's going to mention in more detail, that there's nothing wrong using the duff, and I will tell you a bit more as well, you know, the experience I had in the marriage which took place in Halab in Syria, and then Sheikh will explain about, you know, how that you can dress and how you can, you know, how you should congratulate one another, what are the etiquettes of congratulating one another in the time of marriage, what you should say. And that's it. And then inshallah he has just a half a, you know, page where he just concludes the book inshallah. So we literally have, literally I just need about 20 or 25 minutes to finish this book, Min Adab al-Islam, written by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda al-Halabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, that we have been studying over the course of this whole month of Ramadan. Inshallah, the next session, I'm not too sure, because I was planning to finish today, and I'm actually traveling tomorrow out of the city. So I'm not here maybe Friday, but maybe I might do it via phone, inshallah. But if, you know, I may be here about 6:30 tomorrow, maybe before that, 6 o'clock. But until the next session and the final session on this book, I will see you then, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعكم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد, respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I welcome all of you once again to our regular discussion and studying of the book Min Adab al-Islam, Islamic Manners, written by Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. This is a extra session again tonight, which I was, it's an impromptu session which I was not scheduled to have, and hence inshallah the session today is also being recorded and will also be played at the regular time tomorrow around 6 o'clock p.m. just before iftar. As you, those who've been following my session will know and realize that in the previous session, which was just today before iftar, I mentioned in the previous session that now we have the last session, and this is inshallah the last session on this book, and inshallah by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope to complete this book today inshallah in this session. We talked about in the previous session, briefly there were two topics that were covered. One was the author, Shaykh Abdul Fattah rahimahullah, giving some brief short advice for the sisters. And then he talked about briefly the issue of making sure that making sure that you are very gentle when you are walking, you are very gentle when a person is entering a door, exiting from a door, especially when people are sleeping. This was discussed in detail in the previous session. And then we actually started the topic of wedding manners. This was in the previous session, the issue of wedding manners, which was the brief etiquette of nikah, of marriage, of wedding manners, and we started that topic. And hence inshallah, if you remember in the previous session, what happened was I started this topic. The author of this book, Shaykh rahimahullah, he mentioned a couple of points, and I mentioned that, look brothers and sisters, marriage is a very long, very detailed subject. Marriage and nikah is something that it's difficult for us to cover, and my aim here is definitely not to talk about nikah or the issues of marriage. And I did mention to you that, you know, I've actually given a whole course on this a couple of years ago in one of the universities, where the title was The Fiqh of Marriage. It was like a 7-day full days, morning till evening, 7-weekend course. We talked about many issues, and you know, the topics that were covered, for example, these are the kind of topics that we talk about in marriage. Just as an example, selecting a suitable spouse for marriage, the rules of engagement, which is called khitbah in Arabic, the nikah and the marriage ceremony itself, marriage contracts, forced marriages, arranged marriages, secret marriages, etiquettes of intimate relations. Then the most important part, rights and responsibilities of marriage, rights and responsibilities of the husband and the wife. And then we talk about polygamy, pregnancy, upbringing of children, and much, much more. And as I said, when I gave this course, alhamdulillah, it was recorded, and a CD set of about 19 CDs were prepared, and they should be available if you check on the internet and maybe in some of the bookshops. And the title of that CD set was The Fiqh of Marriage. But here, is what we're doing in this book is just this, the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, has just a few basic etiquette and adab about marriage, okay? Just a few etiquettes about marriage. What we discussed in the previous session, when he said that, look, when you are invited to a marriage ceremony, to a nikah ceremony, then attend it, okay? When you are invited to a celebration of marriage, then by all means go and accept the invitation, because this is sunnah, it's a noble sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as there are no prohibited acts, this was the condition, as long as there are no prohibited acts, okay? So if, as I mentioned, that if there are prohibited acts like singing taking place, unlawful singing, open, casual, free interaction of the two sexes taking place, then it's prohibited to go and participate and take part in those kinds of marriage ceremonies. And then he said the reason why it's you should attend somebody else's invitation for marriage is that because Islam can, this is a very important part which the Shaykh mentions, and I discussed this earlier on in the earlier session, Islam considers marriage to be part of worshipping Allah. This is a very important point, brothers and sisters, lost on many people. Islam considers marriage to be a form of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, seriously. It's from ibadat. Just like we offer salah, zakat, hajj, umrah, and nawafil, and qiyam, and many things. It's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many verses of the Quran that encourage marriage. Allah says about the prophets, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. All the prophets that we sent, all of them had wives, and they all had children. Okay, there were only two prophets of Allah did not marry. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, and Sayyiduna Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, peace be upon him. Only two prophets, that's it. Otherwise, all of them married. It's a sunnah. It's a sunnatun mu'akkadatun marhuba. Right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, An-nikahu min sunnati. Marriage is from my sunnah. In another hadith, which is a separate hadith recorded in Ibn Majah and elsewhere, he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Or he said, النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِسُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever does not act upon my sunnah is not one of me. So there's a lot of encouragement. And marriage in Islam is considered to be an act of worship, an act of ibadah, brothers and sisters. This is very important. When a person gets married, we often forget this. We need to realize that it's not a normal, regular, mundane, worldly act that we are doing. Okay? It's not a regular, worldly, mundane act we are doing. We're actually worshipping Allah. The intention behind marrying, there are many objectives, right? There's actually many maqasid, what the fuqaha consider maqasid, objectives, aims, objectives and goals of marriage. Like for example, you know, wanting pious offspring, wanting to abstain from sins, peace and tranquility through your spouse, enjoying the company of one spouse, learning how to share and care for one another, etc., etc. These are many objectives. But one of the most important objectives, brothers and sisters, of marriage is to get close to Allah. The husband should look for a wife who will help him attain proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wife should look for a husband who is pious, knowledgeable, someone who will help her in gaining and attaining that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the whole reason behind marriage. Seriously, that's what marriage is. It's an ibadah. It's not a worldly act. It's a religious act. And this is what the Shaykh is saying here. So when you are doing a religious act, then you should be, when somebody invites you to the religious ceremony, it's not nikah, it's a religious ceremony. And now if somebody commits haram in it, then they're actually polluting their religious ceremony with unlawful activities. That's exactly how it is. It's like somebody trying to offer prayer, salah, and then drinking alcohol while offering prayer. If somebody drinks alcohol in nikah, that's the same thing. So this is why the Shaykh is explaining here that marriage is a form of ibadah. Islam considers marriage to be ibadah. And this is the reason why marriages are contracted and conducted in the masjid. Right? Because acts of ibadah, acts of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are carried out where? In the masjid. In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mustahab, recommended, as the jurists and the fuqaha have mentioned. And then the Shaykh mentioned three hadith which I discussed in the previous session. He mentioned, like, there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, announce the nikah, to make it announced as much as possible. You know, in terms of marriage being an ibadah, I remember there's one great jurist, Imam al-Haskafi rahimahullah, from the Hanafi school. He says that there's only two acts of worship, there are only two forms of ibadah, two forms of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have been prescribed since the time of our father Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, peace be upon him, is still present right now and will remain in the hereafter. There's only two things. Everything else ends by the qiyamah, like prayer, salah, as a form of ibadah. There's no offering fajr, dhuhr, asr in Jannah. If someone wants as a form of pleasure and enjoyment, fine. But as a form of ibadah, no. There is no fasting. There is no zakat. There is no hajj. There are no forms of ibadah that have been prescribed since time began and will also remain in the hereafter. He said there's only two. What are these two? Number one is iman. Iman is actually aqidah, but it's a form of worshipping Allah. It's a form of ibadah as well. Iman, belief in Allah. All the prophets since Adam alayhi salam encouraged and taught iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the akhirah, we will still be believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, he said, is nikah and marriage. Since the time of Adam, peace be upon him, marriage has been prescribed. Till today, till the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sharia of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam prescribed it, and it will remain even in the akhirah. There'll be marriage taking place. So it's a unique form of ibadah, worshipping Allah. Hence, brothers and sisters, remember, if you want to get married, and you can think of this, your intention should be that, look, I want to get close to Allah. My intention, aim, goal, ultimate aim, main and primary objective of marrying is I want to become close to Allah. I want to preserve myself, God, safeguard myself from sins. I want to get that closeness to Allah. I want to become a practicing, pious Muslim brother or a sister. That's the whole aim of marriage. Seriously, that's the whole aim of an objective of marriage. The primary and fundamental objective of marriage. So this is why the Shaykh says that it's conducted in the masjid. And then he mentioned a few hadith. He said, look, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, announce the marriage, conduct them in the masjid, and play the dham or the tambourine. This again in order to announce it. Announce the nikah and marriage, publicize it. And he mentioned in the other hadith, which was that the difference between halal and haram, between zina, haram, and halal relations, is noise and daf or duf. You know, you can say daf. بِضَمِّ الدَّالِ وَقَدْ تُفْتَحْ وَهُوَ الَّذِي لَا جَلَا جِلَا أَجْرَاسَ فِيهِ الدُّفُوف جَمْعُ دَفٍ or دُفٍ. You can say daf, you can say duf. I will talk about this inshallah. And it's called the drum or the tambourine, in which there are no bells or jingle bells in it, okay? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, look, and this was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam prescribed this so that the marriage would be announced. Hence, you know, secret marriages are not, sometimes they're not even valid. Sometimes they may be valid, but they are definitely not recommended or appropriate, unless in exceptional cases. Each individual case is looked into on its own merit. Okay, because in Islam, marriage is supposed to be announced. People are supposed to know that you are married. Okay, so that people don't have funny ideas. And then the Sheikh mentioned that, look, Islam gave permission in the Aqd of Nikah to play the daf, and he talked about this, that the main reason is to announce it, and the Arabs used to have this way of announcing, like women used to make this sound by our women as a manifestation of joy and things like that. So this the Sheikh explained, which I talked about in the previous session. Now we go back to the book, inshallah. I will read a few texts, the last couple of pages that we have, and then I'll translate and explain, inshallah, as much as possible. One thing before I do that, I also talked about walima, that the Shaykh is saying here that attend and accept the invitation. I talked about when it's necessary to accept the invitation of walima. There's a lot of emphasis on that, okay? So that was something that I did mention. One thing I just want to mention is that, brothers and sisters, Islam, according to Islam, marriage is a very simple thing. Islam has made marriage very simple. It's so easy. There are no restrictions, conditions. The problem today is, brothers and sisters, that we have made marriage difficult. Seriously. And the more we make difficult the marriage, the more sins will take place. There's no one to blame except ourselves and our culture. Seriously. There are so many difficulties, cultural practices, cultural customs. Like, for example, parents being adamant that someone has to be from the same caste, ethnicity, background, from the same village and the same street back home. Sometimes it's monetary things, that he has to have this much and that much. I mean, of course, you have to look at a few basic things here and there. But like one, there was a Palestinian brother that I used to know, he used to live in Syria. He used to be a friend of mine. He wanted to get married. He said to me, you know what, I can't get married until I have 3 keys. I said, what are those 3 keys? He said, until I don't have a key to a car, a key to a house, and key to a business, no one will give me their daughter. There are women in the Arab world who are like 40, and even in England, I know of a sister, somebody said that she's about 40, and she can't get married. People, it's difficult for people to marry in this day and age. Why? Because people have too many expectations. Parents put too much pressure, too much expectations from parents. The brother and the sister getting married themselves have too much expectations. There are too much cultural practices, too much cultural responsibilities that they think need to be fulfilled. Until he doesn't come and she doesn't come and great-granddad doesn't come from this country and the great-grandma doesn't arrive from this country. Islam says marriage is simple. Keep it simple. According to Islam, marriage is like, you know, it's the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most in a'zama nikahi barakatan aysaruhu mu'natan. The marriage in which least amount of money is spent has the most barakah. Seriously, simplicity is the hallmark of an Islamic marriage. You know, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, there was a Sahabi called Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. He once, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not see him for a while. So he asked, and then after that he saw him, and he said to him, he saw a yellow mark on his thobe, on his clothes. He said, what's this yellow mark? He said, oh, you know what, last week I got married and I applied a bit of perfume, and this is the effect mark of that perfume. He said, subhanallah, you got married. Okay, mashallah, barakallah, may Allah bless you. Awlim walaw bishatin. May Allah give you barakah, and if you can, make walima, even if by slaughtering a small goat. Now, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, subhanallah, you got married, you didn't even tell me, okay, don't talk to me now, astaghfirullah. Nothing like that. Subhanallah, this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't even need to, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not even feel the need to even mention it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would just get married, it's simple. You know, sister's happy, brother's happy, simple, nobody puts restrictions, people make it easy for others to get married, you get married, you fulfill the sunnah, alhamdulillah, you're enjoying life, move on, right? But we have too many restrictions, seriously, too many restrictions, too many cultural restrictions. And I tell you one thing, dear listeners, you know, the more we make it complicated for people to marry, the more restrictions we put. Islam has made marriage very simple, but the more we make it difficult, the more we close the doors for halal, act of ibadah, the more we close the doors for halal, worshipping of Allah, and halal, nikah, the more we open the doors for haram sins. seriously. It's a consequence. And I'm not saying this from my own pocket. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says in one hadith that إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ وَدِينَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. He addressed the parents, said, look, when you find somebody who's proposed, whose deen and character, manners you are happy with, then just marry your daughters off. If you don't, there'll be widespread destruction and fitna and tribulation in the land. And that's what happens, seriously. Why? Well, we complain today. There are all sorts of haram acts and practices taking place. But why are they taking place? Because we make it difficult for people to fulfill their needs in a halal way. Okay? We make it difficult, seriously. Too many cultural practices. Islam is so easy. The Sahaba, it was very easy for them. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een. There were no culture. They were open and simple. And they fulfilled their needs in a halal way. Islam considers fulfilling one's needs to also be an act of ibadah. In one hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered sexual relations to be act of charity. وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. One of you fulfilling your needs is also an act of ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, I will move on and we'll read this text inshallah. The Shaykh, the author says, فَفِي حُضُورِكَ لِلْأَقْدِ تَحْقِيقٌ لِلْإِعْلَانِ الْمَطْلُوبِ وَزِيَادَةُ تَثْبِيتٍ لِلشَّهَادَةِ عَلَى الزِّوَاجِ وَمُشَارَكَةٌ لِأَخِيكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَوْ لِأُخْتِكَ الْمُؤْمِنَةِ فِي الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ الذي أحرز فيه كل منهما شطر دينه فليتق الله في الشطر الآخر. Because he explained to us that look, one of the etiquettes is that when somebody invites you to the marriage celebration and ceremony, accept the invitation, try your best to go, okay? Because it's sunnah. This is what the Shaykh said. So now he says here, he tells us the benefit by you attending, and remember the condition was as long as no haram sinful activities are taking place. Remember, as long as no haram, unlawful, sinful activities are taking place. This was mentioned. So, the benefit in attending is, he says, فَفِي حُضُورِكَ لِلْأَقْدِ. By you attending a marriage contract, you are fulfilling this required publicity. Because Islam wants that the marriage is publicized as much as possible. Remember I said, the two witnesses are formal witnesses. Remember, the rest of the people are considered to be informal witnesses. And the more people witness, the more people know, the better. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, announce the marriage, right? So, the Shaykh is saying here, that you attending the marriage contract, by doing so, you are actually fulfilling a great need. What is that great need? Is you are fulfilling this requirement, which is the more people attend, the more publicity, and the more better. Okay, which is what Sharia wants. وَزِيَادَةُ تَثْبِيتٍ لِلشَّهَادَةِ عَلَى الزَّوَاجِ. And you are enforcing more the witnessing on a marriage. You have the two formal witnesses, but you have many informal witnesses. So the Shaykh has explained to us that, look, there are many benefits in you attending and participating in someone's wedding ceremony and celebration. Number one is this, what we just said. You are fulfilling the requirement of publicity, right? You are fulfilling this requirement. You are becoming an informal witness. You are one extra person who knows about the marriage. And the more people come, the better. So this is one great benefit. Benefit number two, the Shaykh explains in this book, rahimahullah, وَمُشَارَكَةٌ لِأَخِيكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَوْ لِأُخْتِكَ الْمُؤْمِنَةِ فِي الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ الَّذِي أَحْرَزَ فِيهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْهُمَا شَطْرَ دِينِهِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي الشَّطْرِ الْآخَرِ. And you are also participating, joining your fellow Muslim brother or sister in a righteous act. They are doing an act of ibadah. So you are also being part of their good deed, okay? A good deed in which each one of them, the two people who are marrying, they have completed the half of their faith. And they should just be fearing Allah in the remaining half. This is actually taken from the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith says, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفُ إِيمَانِهِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِي When a person marries, then half of their faith is fulfilled. They just have to fear Allah in the remaining half. Because half of the sins a human being commits are because of their sexual desire. So these two people are fulfilling half the deen, and they are doing a good righteous act. And by you attending, you are inshallah participating, and you'll also get the reward of a act of ibadah. So that's the second benefit. And then he says, وَتَكْرِيمٌ لِلزَّوْجِ وَالزَّوْجَةِ بِإِبْتِهَاجِ الْأَقَارِبِ وَالْأَصْدِقَاءِ الصَّالِحِينَ بِزِوَاجِهِمَا وَبِدُعَائِهِمْ لَهُمَا بِالصَّلَاحِ وَالْفَلَاحِ وَالْيُمْنِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حُقُوقِ الْأُخُوَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Also, what you will be doing is you will be honoring the husband and the wife, those two who are getting married. Okay? You'll be honoring them by expressing joy. Okay? You will be honoring them by expressing the joy that is expressed by the relatives and righteous friends. Okay? In other words, you are also showing your and expressing your joy and your happiness. Remember, we talked about earlier on that Islam really emphasizes that we should share the pain of others. We talked about, you know, visiting the sick, expressing condolences, consoling people, being part of people's agony and people's problems and sharing them. Likewise, when people are happy, Islam tells us that we should also be part of their happiness. So this is something else. We are another benefit. And so we are, the benefit is that we are becoming part, we are participating in the hour, in the hour of happiness. And then the Shaykh says, and you will also be making dua for them. Because when you go there, you say Mabruk, you'll say Mubarak, you'll say Barakallah, may Allah bless you, may Allah make this marriage prosperous and make you both happy. So you'll be making dua for them. Dua for them of righteousness, of success, of prosperity, of tawfiq, of good guidance from Allah. You'll be doing all these things. And all these things are from the Huquq al-Ukhuwat al-Islamiyya. These are the rights which are due because of Islamic brotherhood and Islamic sisterhood. Subhanallah. So in this paragraph, the Shaykh mentioned 3-4 benefits. By you attending someone's wedding ceremony, you will be, there's many benefits. Number one, you'll be fulfilling the need of publicity because you'll be making up the numbers. Number two, you will join in with the happiness of the couple, okay? Number two is you will join in. You will join in a righteous good act because they are doing an act of worshipping Allah. And you being there, you'll also get the reward. So inshallah, you'll get some reward as well. So you'll be rewarded as well by taking part in a amal salih, pious deed. And number three, the third benefit is that you will be taking part in somebody else's joy and happiness. And number four, you'll be making dua for them. Four benefits. Okay, we move on to the next paragraph. The Shaykh says, إِذَا دُعِيتَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فَلْتَكُنْ نِيَّتُكَ فِي الْإِجَابَةِ أَنَّكَ تَشْهَدُ دَعْوَةَ خَيْرٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ وَحَفْلَةَ سُرُورٍ مَشْرُوعٍ أَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِحُضُورِهَا. When you are invited to a marriage ceremony, then make sure your intention is that you are attending a good, blessed gathering and you are accepting a blessed invitation. And you are attending a permissible celebration of happiness, which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered to attend. So that's the niyyah. So the first etiquette, now the Shaykh is explaining a few adab and etiquettes in marriage. He said, look, first thing you should do, remember that your intention, niyyah should be right. Your intention should be that when you go, don't say, oh, I just want to go because they called us for their wedding, so we have to go for their wedding, or anything like that. Okay? Your intention, correct your intention. Remember in Islam, whenever we change our intention, we are rewarded. So the Shaykh says that, look, make your intention that when you are going to somebody's marriage and wedding, and look, this is something the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged. This is a good, blessed gathering, and I want to be part of it, inshallah, and I'll be rewarded. And you'll be rewarded for doing so. وراعي المعاني التي تقدمت الإشارة إليها. Give consideration to those things which have been mentioned before. And then the Shaykh mentions another adab. He says, وَخُذْ زِينَتَكَ الْمَشْرُوعَةَ لِهَذَا اللِّقَاءِ الطَّيِّبِ الْكَرِيمِ فَقَدْ كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِذَا تَزَاوَرُوا تَجَمَّلُوا. One etiquette is that make sure you adorn yourself. Make sure you adorn yourself with mashru'a, with a permissible dress. With permissible dress. Make sure you adorn yourself with permissible dress for this honorable and joyous meeting. Remember when you meet people, so the Shaykh is saying here that this is a very honorable occasion, an occasion of happiness, an occasion of joy, a blessed gathering of nikah and marriage. So make sure that you don't go in your dirty clothes. And I'm sure many people don't, and this is an adab that we definitely, most of us, act upon it. Nobody is going to go just direct from their work in their work clothes, maybe just from the factory, you know, the dirty clothes and smelling with bad odor, straight into a nikah, marriage ceremony. No, we don't normally do that. This is what the Shaykh is saying, that look, make sure you dress in an appropriate way. Make sure you dress in an appropriate manner, in an appropriate way for the nikah and for the marriage. And he says, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this is actually mentioned in the Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, إِذَا تَزَاوَرُوا تَجَمَّلُوا. Whenever they would visit one another, they would adorn themselves. So adorn yourself, okay? But there's one important point the Shaykh mentioned here, that خُذْ زِينَتَكَ الْمَشْرُوعَةَ. مَشْرُوعَة, this word. Make sure it's legal, what you dress in. Make sure your dress is good. Adorn yourself, but legally, Islamically, you know, permitted. Don't go like if you're a sister, then, you know, in all ways and wear short clothing and skin-tight clothing and expose your hair and things like that. And I know people do that, seriously. You know, like one person was saying that in marriage, the two people who are supposed to be getting married, but there's like all these other people get married. It's like where you find, you know, someone to get married. SubhanAllah, that's how it happens in some places. So if it's only sisters and only women, then yeah, there's a flexibility, right? It's not a problem. But if there's men going to see you there in any way, then make sure Islam, without a doubt, you know, does not allow open casual free mixing. So that's one adab. Adorn yourself, but make sure it's permissible. The next etiquette, he says, وَلْيَكُنِ الْحَدِيثُ مِنْكَ إِذَا ابْتَدَأْتَهُ أَوْ شَارَكْتَ فِيهِ مِمَّا يَنْسَجِمُ مَعَ الْمُنَاسَبَةِ وَالْإِبْتِهَاجِ بِهَا وَلَا تَتَحَدَّثْ بِمَا يُحْزِنُ الْحَاضِرِينَ أَوْ تَمُجُّهُ النُّفُوسُ وَالْأَسْمَعُ فَالْمُؤْمِنُ كَيِّسٌ فَطِنٌ. Another beautiful etiquette, brothers and sisters. He said, look, when you go in a marriage ceremony, make sure that when you start a conversation, or you get involved in a conversation, then talk about something that is appropriate and fits in with the occasion and the joyful nature of the gathering and the meeting that you are in. Don't talk about that which will sadden someone, make someone sad, make the attendees depressed, or spoil, you know, or something which the hearts and the ears and the minds and the souls of people don't like to listen. Because a believer, a mu'min, is supposed to be intelligent, tactful and wise. This is another etiquette. What the Shaykh is saying here, look, when you go in a marriage, talk about, you know, the last part, he says that a Muslim, a believer, is supposed to be somebody who has wisdom, tact, okay? Somebody who's wise. Like, remember when we talked about visiting the ill and the sick, what did the Shaykh tell us? He said, talk about appropriate things. Don't talk about, like, things that will make the ill person more ill, right? And when we talked about consoling people, you talk about death and things connected to death. Now this is marriage. You're not going to go in a marriage ceremony and start talking about how many people die and who died when and you know, like everybody's going to die. And don't start making everybody meditate about death. Oh, remember everybody, one day we all have to die and everybody's going to die. It's not the time. Seriously, it's not a time to talk about death. Okay? Yeah, you can remind that, look, this life is very short, inshallah, and talk about taqwa and the fear of Allah and make sure that you fulfill the commandments of Allah in your nikah. But the conversation in nikah, it's a time of celebration. It's a time of being happy. So the conversations should revolve around that theme. You don't start talking about meditating about death. Seriously, some people, they don't use their brain. They think they're doing amar bil ma'ruf, nahi bil munkar. Yes, we enjoy the good, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Let's talk. Everybody remember in a marriage celebration, talking about you'll have to go inside, 10 feet down the grave, and the grave is like this, and Jahannam and hellfire is like that. Come on, just there's another time. There's a time and place for everything in Islam. There's a time and place for everything. Use a bit of your intelligence, your brain, and your understanding, your wisdom, and then talk about something that's appropriate. Don't talk about anything that will depress people, that will sadden people. This is what the Shaykh is saying. So that's another etiquette. Then he says, we move on to the next paragraph, he says, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ لَكَ التَّهْنِيَةُ لِمَنْ تُهْنِئُهُ مِنَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ بِدُعَاءِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير رواه أبو داود والترمذي وصححه وابن ماجه والحاكم ولا تهنئه بالقول الذي يهنئ به بعض الناس بالرفاء والبنين فإنه من تهنئة أهل الجاهلية وقد نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنه وأغنان الله تعالى عنه بدعاء الرسول الكريم الذي علمناه كما تقدم ومن الدعاء المسنون أيضا بارك الله لكم وبارك عليكم رواه النسائي وابن ماجه. He says also one of the etiquettes, it's mustahab and recommended when you congratulate someone. So a lot of people don't know how to congratulate Islamically. So he says, when you give your congratulations, okay, what's the Islamic way and what's the Sunnah way of congratulating the husband and the wife? He said, use the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the following. بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير. Once again, بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير. May Allah bless you, may Allah have blessings upon you, may Allah unite both of you, husband and wife, in good. This was the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very good. I know one of my sheikh's teachers, every time when he does the nikah, conducts the marriage ceremony, and straight after the groom in the masjid, when he accepts, he says, I have accepted, تزوجتها ونكحتها وقبلتها. That's what the groom should be saying, like, I have accepted her in my marriage. He straight away always mentions this dua of, which is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. Recorded by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan, Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, and Imam al-Tirmidhi considers this hadith to be authentic, sahih, and Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and Imam al-Hakim in his al-Mustadrak. Another Shaykh says that don't use other types of words of and terms of congratulations which some people use. And like he mentioned, gave an example here that some people in the Arabs, they used to say arrifa wal banin, meaning have happiness and have good children in your marriage with comfort and with children. He says that because this was a form of congratulating in the days of Jahiliyyah. So don't use that. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually forbade that. And Allah has sufficed us with the du'a of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the best way of congratulating a married couple, right? So why do we need anything else? And then he says another masnoon du'a is very similar. Barakallahu lakum wa baraka alaykum. This is slightly short. If somebody can't remember the previous one, this is a shorter one, shorter version. Barakallahu lakum wa baraka alaykum. Allah bless you and have blessings upon you. Recorded by Imam al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. And then he says, he mentions a hadith. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها تزوجني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتتني أمي فأدخلتني الدار فإذا نسوة من الأنصار في البيت فقلنا على الخير والبركة وعلى خير طائر أي على خير حظ ونصيب رواه البخاري. سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها, she says that, you know what, when I was getting married to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, my mother came to me and she made me enter the house. There were some women of Ansar in the house, and they said to me, "Al khayri wal baraka," on goodness and on baraka, on blessings, and on good fortune, inshallah. This is a hadith of Bukhari. So this is something that could also be said. The next part is very important. We talked about, playing the hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A'linu hadha nikah, a'linu hadha nikah, waj'aluhu fil masajid, wadribuhu alayhi bid dufuf." Announce the marriage, conduct them in the masjids and play the tambourine, the duff. The Shaykh is explaining in that there's nothing wrong in the next couple of paragraphs in terms of singing and playing the duff in a marriage ceremony. Remember, the Arabs, even till today, if you've been to an Arab marriage ceremony, you'll see this. I actually attended one from the same city, in the same city where the Shaykh is from, in Syria, Halab. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Al-Halabi Rahimullah. You know, subhanAllah, it was a wonderful, you know, it's like a whole night thing. It was a practicing, you know, student of knowledge who was getting married with all the students and the Shaykh. These were all Arabs, Syrians, mashallah. And they had a nice gathering, you know, they have recitations of the Quran, and then, you know, they have nice Arab tea coming in, and then at night, then they have anashid, songs that are being sung. Now, Islamic ones, and then also non-Islamic ones, but which are permissible, good, healthy, nothing evil, bad, rude, offensive, or unlawful in those songs. Okay, and then they use the tambourine duff, which is permissible, just the duff, no other instruments. I'll tell you, you know, the ruling about this is that, look, singing is permissible, singing and music is permissible with two conditions. Number one, the song in itself should be such, the content of the song should be such that it's legal, halal, and permissible. Okay, if the song contains descriptions of women, particular parts of a man, talks about lust, illicit sexual relations, love, you know, unlawful love, and things like that, okay, then without a doubt, that song in itself is unlawful haram, regardless of whether it's accompanied by musical instruments or not. The song in itself is haram. So one condition is that the content of the song should be permissible. Number two, according to the most scholars, yeah, this is the mainstream opinion of the Muslim Ummah, all sorts of musical instruments are not allowed, like the guitar, the piano. I've actually got a very detailed article, Music and Singing, on my website, darulifta.com. A really long article which I wrote regarding music and singing. The Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, classical scholars, jurists of all four schools of thought, they actually agree that besides the duff or the duff, the tambourine, any other musical instrument like the guitar, the piano, the flute, whatever, they are not permitted. Okay, so that's a second condition. So if you have singing taking place where the content is halal, lawful, permissible, whether it's Islamic content or even non-Islamic, you talk about the sky and the trees, etc. And second condition, you don't use musical instruments, you just use the duff, the tambourine, right? Then that kind of singing, no wrong whatsoever, permissible. And this is what the Shaykh is saying in this book as well. He says, look, especially at the time of marriage, celebrate, no problem. وَسَمَحَ, he says, وَسَمَحَ الشَّرْعُ الْحَنِيفُ لِلنِّسَاءِ أَن يُغَنِّينَ فِي الْعُرْسِ بِالْغِنَاءِ الْمُبَاحِ وَيُنْشِدْنَ مَعَ الضَّرْبِ بِالدُّفِ الْأَشْعَارَ أَوِ الْأَقْوَالَ الْحَسَنَةَ مِمَّا لَا تَغَزُّلَ فِيهِ بِالْحُبِّ وَالْجَمَالِ وَالْخُدُودِ وَالْقُدُودِ وَالْفُجُورِ فَيَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا نَظِيفًا لَطِيفًا فِيهِ إِظْهَارُ الْفَرَحِ وَالسُّرُورِ بِالزِّوَاجِ الْمَيْمُونِ. سبحان الله. He says, Islam and Sharia permits our pure religion, pristine religion of Islam, Sharia, allows women that they sing in urs, in marriage ceremonies, with mubah, halal, legal songs. And they do anashid with playing the duf. I told you, you know, in the Arab world, like in Syria, for example, you have marriage ceremonies. Women are completely separate. Men can't hear them. But they know how to, you know, enjoy themselves. They have their own women gathering, and they'll sing anashid and duf, and they'll enjoy, you know, there's nothing wrong. People are happy. Okay, Islam doesn't say that everything that is of happiness and joy, that's it, it's prohibited. It's an occasion of happiness. So women can sing. And he says, al-ash'ara, good poetry, al-aqwal al-hasanata, or good statement. Yes, as long as make sure that there is no word taghazzul. There's no, it's from the word ghazal. Like, there's no, like, explicit words of love, of lust, of beauty, of specific women, description of, like, women and things like that. And talking about al-khudud wal-qudud, meaning talking about the frame and the build and the shape and the figure, okay, about the cheeks of a woman, wal-fujur, and no sinful talk in them. I told you two conditions. The content of the song should be halal, and number two, only the tambourine duff can be used. Hence, women can sing. And one of the things they can do in a marriage ceremony, as long as men cannot hear them, no problem. They can say قَوْلًا نَظِيفًا, good, pure statement. لَطِيفًا, in which, you know, songs in which you are expressing your happiness on a blessed occasion, that we are happy, marriage is a happy occasion, talk about marriage, inshallah, this is a blissful, you know, kind a song of that kind. And then he mentions the hadith, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت زفت امرأة إلى رجل من الأنصار فقال نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عائشة ما كان معكم له فإن الأنصار أي أهل المدينة يعجبهم اللهو رواه البخاري ويعني باللهو الغناء والضرب بالدف أو بالدف. سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها says that a woman was led to her husband, Zuffat. You know the word in Arabic, Zuffat, is from the word, they also say Laylatul Zufaf. Laylatul Zufaf is the, you know, the first night of marriage. Zuffat is like when the woman moves on into the husband's house, when she is led to the husband's house, like what we say, Rukhsati. Okay? Now, Islamically, there's nothing wrong, whatever's convenient. Some people like to have their marriage and Zufaf together, fine. If some people want to like separate them, that's fine as well. Either way, it's just whatever's convenient. So a woman was led to her husband who was from a man of Ansar. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, that, oh Aisha, this woman is getting married. Don't you have any lahu with you? The word lahun in Arabic. Don't you have any lahu with you? Because the Ansar, the people of Medina, they like lahu. Okay? Now what is lahu? This is a hadith mentioned in Bukhari. The Shaykh explains this, that lahu means singing, remember halal content, and number two, the beating and the hitting and the playing of the tambourine, the daf. There's nothing wrong. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged it. And then there's a commentary on this. قَالَ الْحَافِظُ بْنُ حَجَرُ فِي فَتْحِ الْبَارِ أَقِبَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ في رواية الشريك أحد رواة الحديث عند الطبراني في الأوسط عن عائشة أيضا فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهل بعثتم معها جارية تضرب بالدف وتغني. That Ibn Hajar, the great somebody's texted in and saying that, you know, my voice sounds really different and maybe very, very deep. I don't know, there may be some technical problem. Yet it's me, Muhammad ibn Adam. And some people have got a couple of texts saying that, you know, the voice is very, very deep, etc. Maybe there may be some reason, inshallah, maybe a technical problem, as long as the message is getting through. So, and this will be replayed again tomorrow, inshallah. It's being recorded, so tomorrow, 6 o'clock p.m., hopefully, it will be replayed again, inshallah. So, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah, mentions that in another variation of this hadith, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, actually said to Aisha, radiallahu anha, that didn't you send with the bride a singing woman who would play the daf and sing? Subhanallah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tabarani is actually encouraging, he's saying, didn't you send a woman, a singing woman, who would sing, okay, who would beat the daf and sing? So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, قُلْتُ تَقُولُ مَاذَا. If I, you know, what would she sing? What would this singing woman sing in a marriage ceremony? So the Messenger, قَالَ تَقُولُ, and then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually sang a song, okay? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually sang a song saying what a singing woman should sing in a marriage ceremony. Subhanallah. And these are three lines of, you know, song which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kind of suggested could be sung in a marriage ceremony. He said, and this is mentioned in Mu'jam of Imam al-Tabrani, in his Mu'jam al-Awsat, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a singing woman could sing, أَتَيْنَاكُمْ أَتَيْنَاكُمْ فَحَيَّانَا وَحَيَّاكُمْ وَلَوْلَا الذَّهَبُ الْأَحْمَرُ مَا حَلَّتْ بِوَادِيكُمْ وَلَوْلَا الْحِنْطَةُ السَّمْرَى مَا سَمِنَتْ عَذَارِيكُمْ. These were some lines of a song which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suggested. He said, a singing woman, you know, when you're going with an entourage, you're going to
receive or going to pick up the bride, the girls, the women would sing, "We have come, we have come, we've come to get you now. We've come from the husband's house. We have come to collect you," not get you, yeah, they're not monsters. "We've come to collect you. Greeting to us, greeting to you. May Allah keep you safe, may Allah keep you us safe." And then there's a bit of like poetry that, "Had it not been the gold, red gold which is found in your area, we would not even come to your area." It's just, you know, as, you know, this is a kind of song which used to be sung in Arabs, okay? "So we would not even come to your valleys, we would go somewhere else if you'd never had red gold in your area. And would it not been, and had it not been for the reddish brownish barley, walawla al-hintatu samara ma saminat adarikum," you know, "your women would not be that healthy. You have good healthy women because they eat red barley." This is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. Anyway, so the Shaykh then says, فَعَلَى مِثْلُ هَذِهِ الْمَعَانِ اللَّطِيفَةِ النَّظِيفَةِ يَكُونُ الْغِنَاءُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ أَمَّا أَغَانِ الْحُبِّ وَالْغَرَامِ وَالْمَعَانِ الْخَلِيعَةِ فَمَحْظُورَةُ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ. That yes, these kind of decent, pure meanings of which are found in songs can be sung by women. However, songs of love, of lust, of immorality, and, you know, offensive kind of meanings, then they are haram according to Islam. Remember, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, "Inna min ash-sha'ri hikmah." Sha'r and poetry, there could be wisdom in it. And the fuqaha say, "Ash-sha'ru bi manzilati al-kalam. Husnuhu hasanun wa qubhuhu qabihun." Song is just like your conversation. Good song is good. A bad, evil one, is, which has bad, evil meanings, it's bad. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he told a sahabi, you know, a companion says that once anshadani an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sha'ra Umayya bint Abi Salt. Once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to sing the song of Umayya bin Salt radiyallahu anhu, and I sang it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage his companions to sing. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after I sang, he said, he was really enjoying it, and he was doing this word, he, حَتَّى أَنْشَدْتُهُ مِئَةَ قَافِيَةً, until I sang 100 lines of poetry. Subhanallah. Anyway, so with this we come to the etiquettes and a brief few manners of marriage. Now the Shaykh, as a conclusion, ends this book. He says, هذه طائفة من آداب الإسلام وهي آداب آبائك وأجدادك قدمتها لك بعبارة واضحة مفهومة لتعمل بها وتسير عليها. These are a selection of certain etiquettes and adab of Islam which alhamdulillah we've been learning, brothers and sisters, over the past whole month of Ramadan. He says, the Shaykh, these are the etiquettes of your forefathers, your grandfathers, which I have presented to you in a very, very, very simple, clear, understandable format, so that you act upon it and it's easy for you. Then he says, وَخَيْرُ مَيْدَانِ الْعَمَلِ بِهَا هُوَ بَيْتُكَ وَبَيْتُ أَخِيكَ وَشَخْصُكَ وَشَخْصُ أَخِيكَ. The best place to act upon these etiquettes is in your own house and in the house of your brother. Remember, and even with people whom you are formal with and you are informal. Remember, he's saying the best place is to start at home. Don't be good with everybody outside the house and you don't fulfill these etiquettes at home. So fulfill them wherever you are. فَلَا تَتَسَاهَلْ فِي الْقِيَامِ بِهَا فِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَإِخْوَانِكَ. Don't be neglectful. Don't be lenient. Don't be complacent in acting upon these etiquettes wherever you are, between yourself and your brothers. زَاعِمًا أَنَّهُ لَا كُلْفَةَ بَيْنَ الْأَهْلِ وَالْإِخْوَانِ. He's saying that, look, you know, when you have your close friends, don't be complacent and say, oh, you know, there's no formality between me. We are all like very close friends. It doesn't matter. We don't need to practice all these adab. Don't do that. He says, even when it's your close friends, relatives, family members, you must act upon these etiquettes. فَأَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِالْبِرِّ وَاللُّطْفِ مِنْكَ أَهْلُكَ وَأَصْحَابُكَ. He says, yes. Why? Because the people, the most rightful of the people to whom you are good and gentle is your own family. Your family comes first, and then your companions, your friends. So actually, when people are close to you, it becomes more important for you to act upon this, these etiquettes. فقد جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله من أحق الناس بحسن صحبتي مني قال أمك ثم أمك ثم أمك ثم أبوك ثم أدناك أدناك أي الأقرب فالأقرب رواه البخاري ومسلم كما تقدم. And he mentions the hadith when a man came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. We talked about this hadith that who deserves the most of my good treatment. He said your mother. So your mother deserves it most before everyone, then your father, then the closest and the closest. So the Shaykh is explaining here that people close to you actually deserve your good treatment and your gentleness more than anybody else. And then he says, the last paragraph of the book, فَحَذَارِ أَيُّهَا الْأَخْ أَن تَتَسَاهَلْ مَا أَحَقِّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ الصُّحْبَةِ مِنْكَ وَتَتَكَايَسَ أَيْ تَتَضَارَفَ مَعَ غَيْرِهِمْ فإنك إن فعلت ذلك غبنت نفسك وظلمت الحق الذي عليك وجانبت هدي سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because beware, O my brother or sister, that if you are careless and neglectful and negligent with the most rightful people to you of good treatment, like you know people who are close to you, and you are charming and graceful and nice to other people, then remember that if you do that, you have cheated your own self. You've oppressed the right which people have over you. So make sure that these etiquettes and adab are practiced, especially when it comes to family members and relatives. And if you don't do that, then you have stayed away from the guidance of our Master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ عَلَى مَرَضَاتِهِ وَأَدَابِ شَرِيعَتِهِ. Seek help from Allah for His pleasure and to act upon the adab and etiquettes of Sharia. وهو الذي يتولى الصالحين تولاك الله في نفسك وذويك وذريتك ومحبيك. May Allah protect you in yourself, in your family, in those who, in your loved ones. وعانك على امتثال أمره وطاعته. May Allah help you in fulfilling His command and in obeying Him. واتباع نبيه وصدق محبته. And Allah help you in following His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and having true love for His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنه وكرمه, with His karam and with His blessings. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Blessings of Allah be on our Master Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his family and his companions. And والحمد لله رب العالمين. And praise to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. With this, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Thumma Alhamdulillah, we come to the end of this book. Inshallah, this session will again be played tomorrow as the usual time. Brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, this was an amazing book, Min Adab al-Islam, and we've learnt a lot in this book. From the beginning of Ramadan, we've learnt many issues. If you remember, the Shaykh talked about in the beginning, I talked about the introduction, I talked about the importance of Islamic manners. We learnt about how important dressing and a good appearance, how important it is. We talked about how we should open the door and close the door. The Shaykh explained to us about how to do salam, how we should make announce our presence when we are entering somebody else's house, how we should seek permission when entering people's rooms, private areas, how to knock and ring on somebody's door, inshallah, how to knock, how many times to knock, where to stand on the door. We talked about the manners of visiting, keeping appointments, making phone calls before we attend people's houses. We talked about how we should control our eyes, how we should remove our shoes, how we should choose a seat. We talked about so many things, mashallah, how we should greet a group. We should avoid sitting between two people, how it is haram to eavesdrop. We talked about the respect of pious people, elders, scholars, ulama, how to begin with them in terms of giving them preference over others. We talked about respect and manners with our parents. We talked about the duties of the host, what are the rules and etiquettes of the host, rules of visiting the sick. We talked about breaking unpleasant news, the rules and etiquettes of expressing condolences and consoling people. We talked about the manners of conversation, how you talk, how you should listen to people and not interrupt people's conversation, the art of listening. We talked about briefly then a small brief advice to the sisters which the Sheikh gave. And finally, the Sheikh completed his book with certain etiquettes and the rules of marriage. Alhamdulillah, we come to the end. Jazakallah khair for listening over the course of the whole month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and may He give us the tawfiq and ability to implement. That's the most important thing. Implement and practice these etiquettes. And we should make dua for this author because he's compiled this amazing book. His name is Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Al-Halabi rahimahullah ta'ala, whom I mentioned. And before we finish the book, we should just send some reward to his soul, inshallah, which is called Isalu Thawab, sending rewards to a deceased person. Isalu Thawab. So we should all recite Surah Al-Fatiha, recite it, and then make an intention to send the reward to the author of this book. And then have all the, you know, our people who've passed away, inshallah. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-rahmanir rahim, maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahus samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد Inshallah, we make an intention to send the reward of what we recited to ultimately, primarily to the author of this book and then to those who have passed away from our forefathers and inshallah all the pious people and the messengers and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah khair for listening. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.